car moved rapidly through the streets of the city. At the wheel was a man dressed in a captain's uniform. The machine whirled onto the highway that led toward the factory. A barricade, lighted by torch lanterns, barred his path. A sentry with a bayoneted gun stood to one side, signaling a halt. The car slowed. He closed the trap door behind him and then started to move rapidly away.
"Halt!"
barked Taylor. The man began to run. The captain's pistol spat, kicking up dust beside the running feet. The fleeing man jumped to one side to spoil Taylor's aim on the next shot. But as he did so, he stumbled and fell. The captain moved through the gate. The silence was uncanny. Since the war began, this factory had never been idle. Thousands of cannon made, contracts for countless more. But now quiet, save for an indescribable whispering overtone that seemed to permeate the air. The ball of orange fire floated on toward him. The man's arm raised. He hurled the hammer straight at the sphere. The missile rang, bounced back, and fell to the sandy floor. A small flicker of flame wafted over the surface of the sphere. Then it lashed out like a whip toward the trembling man. His entire body glowed like a torch, then crumpled to the floor in a heap of ashes. The sphere pulsed again, but this time no flaming whip sprang from its surface. There was a single flash. For an instant, Taylor caught a glimpse of bestial eyes looking angrily at him from the center of the flash. Then there was nothing. He was in the darkness of a tunnel. Even the charred embers of the wooden trap door above him seemed dimmed by a cloud of dust. The sphere had simply exploded. The echo of the sentry's bellow rattled against the bleak factory buildings. A sphere bobbed up through the hole in the roof. Orkins opened his mouth to scream, but Norden clapped his hand over the man's lips, choking him off. Taylor swung his fist. The blow connected, and the officer caught the falling man, swung him over his shoulder, then turned to the cringing Orkins. Taylor and Masters watched the circling spheres. Suddenly, one darted down. From its pulsating body shot a flash of flame. A human scream rent the air. Masters looked nervously up at the circling globes. Taylor, deep in thought, did not stir. Instead, he continued his speculation. "Maybe they kill us for sport." He was thinking of small boys torturing frogs, of Roman emperors at the circus, of sportsmen exterminating game, of the mob watching the guillotine on the streets of Paris. It was Zarathustra who said that when gazing at tragedies, bullfights, and crucifixions, man has felt his happiest, and when man invented hell, he made hell his heaven on earth. Couldn't this be a characteristic of all life? Couldn't the spheres be cruel and ruthless too? Man, the mighty hunter, had become the prey. A moment later, flame streaked down from the sphere toward the parking lot. There was a roar as a gasoline tank exploded and flame shot skyward. From the city came screams and cries. The spheres had attacked at last. The men in the wooded field could see the darting balls sending their searing bolts down on the heads of hapless victims. The crashing roar of the slaughter sounded like distant thunderstorms. Taylor led the group into the tunnel, with Masters following and Pember bringing up the rear. The din of the slaughter in the town and the shrill whistle of the spheres was blotted out underground. Norden halted at the door. He took a deep breath. From his lips came a shrill, whispering whistle, a close imitation of the call of the spheres. As Taylor looked at the eyes, he felt plunged into the pathless depths of a vast, powerful brain. He was in contact with an infinity of intelligence far beyond limits of human comprehension. From the depths of the sphere, a rhythm of thought arose. A whispered epic sang through the fibers of Taylor's mind, telling of a world of energy whipped into a storm of war. Pember lowered his gun. The sphere pulsed ominously. Then the doughboy charged. Beneath the brim of his helmet, Pember's jaws were set. His half-closed eyes glazed by the dazzling light from the sphere, were two slits of savage determination. There was something glorious in that charge. It was a soldier going into battle against hopeless odds. And it was more. The army of human civilization at that moment consisted of one buck private, pitting everything he had against something that even science could not analyze.